This is the Fleming Foundation Summer Symposium 2021, Living Well in a Dying Age, with an excerpt from a lecture by Dr. E. Christian Kopf entitled Justinian Law.
The culture of educated citizens of Western nations still lives off the accomplishments of ancient Greek civilization in art, literature, philosophy, and science. Justinian and Trebonian salvaged and restored what Roman law meant to the peoples of the Mediterranean and much of Europe. While we may object to or criticize various aspects of Roman law, if you read J.B. Bury's very good history of this period, he has a number of criticisms and things he doesn't approve of. It's hard to disagree with Crook's conclusion about the entire accomplishment, end quote. So I'm quoting Jay Crook again. Given their patterns of society and habits of thought, which neither the law nor anything else can just wish away, and given the fundamental perennial problem of the need to reconcile consistency and certainty of law with equity and flexibility of law, the Romans provided for a vast area of diverse peoples a legal framework in which orderly lives could be led. Certainly, the picture that Gibbon gives us of the second century, that's under Roman law, and those who both are and are not citizens have that kind of framework for what they did. And that's what Justinian was attempting to restore and renew. Justinian and Trebonian's accomplishment provided law and order for significant parts of the Near East for centuries. Justinian's policies restored Roman law to Africa and Italy. For generations, Gaul, Spain, and Britain were already lost at this time to Roman rule by the 6th century, although continuity of language and culture survived on the European mainland. It took centuries for Charlemagne to restore the ideal of a Roman Empire to Europe when he was crowned Holy Roman Emperor in AD 800. Culturally, Charlemagne's Roman Empire worked to restore the classical Christian education of the seven liberal arts and the careful copying of the classics of Latin literature, especially Virgil and Cicero. And manuscripts that were copied under Charlemagne, they're very beautiful where they survive. We wish more of them did, but the ones that survived are really, really beautifully written and very often with very good texts. The fall of Charlemagne's line during the 9th century was followed by a cultural gap in the 10th century. In the 11th century, universities arose and scholars read and copied the prose masterpieces of Latin literature, Virgil, and in addition, Ovid and Lucan. They studied Aristotle's logical works and Porphyry's Isagoge, his introduction to philosophy, in Boethius's translations, and they began to read and annotate the corpus of civil law. What Harvard's Charles Homer Haskins has called the Renaissance of the 12th century, it published actually in 1927, actually arose in the 11th century when scholars, especially at the University of Bologna, began to study the law as an academic subject. Hal J. Berman notes in his Law and Revolution, quotes, "The law that was first taught and studied systematically in the West was not the prevailing law. It was the law contained in an ancient manuscript which had come to light in an Italian library toward the end of the 11th century. The manuscript reproduced the Digest, an enormous collection of legal materials which had been compiled into the Roman Emperor Justinian about 534 AD, over five centuries earlier," end quotes. Things had changed in Europe since Justinian's day. No Western counterparts of Roman magistrates like praetors, legal advisors, jurists, or advocates, orators. The prevailing legal institutions were largely Germanic and Frankish. Thus, it was the body of law, the legal system of an earlier civilization, as recorded in a huge book or set of books, that formed the object of Europe's first systematic legal studies.
This was a presentation of the Fleming Foundation.